This is Jonathan Ward. You're listening to KPTZ Port Townsend, and I am happy to have in the studio with me a couple of guests from the Humane Society of Jefferson County, Steve Gillard and Phyllis Becker. And Steve is president of the board of directors, is that correct?
I just started serving my term a few months ago.
Great. And Phyllis has been working with the Humane Society for about 10 years and specializing in cat care, is that right?
Yes.
Great. Well, thank you both for coming in. And this is part of the Care and Connect program that KPTZ has, where we focus on several nonprofits. And Timothy Quackenbush, I believe, has been live out at the Humane Society. Marion McNellis has interviewed the founder, and I get to interview you two here. And we're going to talk about the shelter and specifically about the adoption process. First, Steve, if you could just tell me a little bit about how you got involved, how your interest in cats and dogs, how you got involved with this particular group, how long you've been with them.
Well, I don't know how much detail to get into. It's kind of a funny story. A local man that a lot of people might be familiar with named Nils Holm passed away a few years ago, a local character. He and I actually started this church, and we called it the Church of Boo Voo. And it was just kind of a funny thing. And one of the things about being a member of our church was you had to do something that benefited people. Some of the members wanted to give money. I decided that what I was going to do was go out and work at the shelter because my daughter had done that. And I knew that our household animals, dogs, cats, had given so much to us, I wanted to give something back. And so I volunteered to walk dogs one morning a week and volunteered to clean cat cages another morning a week. So the very first day I went out there, the date was 11-11. It's about 8 years ago. There in kennel number one, on day one, was the first dog I walked, Luna, and Luna now lives with
us. Yeah, of course. Probably not the last time that's happened or the first time that's happened to somebody. So, well, that's wonderful. And what's Church of Boo Voo? What is Boo Voo?
Well, Nils was a practicing Buddhist, and he'd also done a walkabout in Haiti and come to think that voodoo was actually a good way to turn curses into blessings, which is the thing. So,
interesting mix. Nice. And Phyllis, how about you? How long have you been involved with the shelter? You said 10 years, is that right? And how did you get started?
Well, I got started with volunteering with Olympic Mountain Pet Pals. They're another nonprofit. Focus on spay and neuter, and I started with trap, neuter, and return of feral cats to reduce animal population. And then when the shelter was open for volunteers, I started volunteering with them too.
Wonderful. And you obviously interact with many organizations, including us, having you on the air here with the Care and Connect program, the Olympic Mountain Pet Pals. What's the relationship with the shelter and that organization that helps provides funds for people to have spay and neuter their animals?
Well, because of Olympic Mountain Pet Pals having provided the resources to get several thousand pet cats and dogs and feral cats, spayed and neutered over the last, let's say, 14 years, this is why Jefferson, Humane Society of Jefferson County Shelter does not have to put down animals for space reasons. So that's the big connection there.
Wonderful. And so it's a what's called a no-kill shelter. And how common is that, Steve, and like throughout the country? What percentage of shelters maybe are no-kill now? Do you know?
I don't know, and kind of have to be careful using that terminology. Sometimes for health reasons and the fact that we're a public shelter, we have to take every animal that's brought in. There may have to be the occasional euthanasia for health reasons. But the percentage of animals that we accept and then are able to adopt out or send to other agencies that are specialty agencies, is one of the best scores, one of the best records that you're going to find anywhere.
Wonderful. That's great. And so what's we spoke about Olympic Pet Pals. What's the relationship, the Humane Society, with the city and the county, of course, and say, animal control through the county?
Well, one of our founding members and Phyllis's husband, Paul Becker, one of the founders of the shelter, I'm a lawyer, and I sometimes say that Paul is actually a better lawyer than I am, even though that's not his been his profession. Mm-hmm. But he worked with the county, particularly the county administrator, Philip Morley. He worked with the city and helped structure, first of all, the nonprofit, because mm-hmm. we knew the county wasn't going to be able to fund shelter operations mm-hmm. When things got really tight a few years ago. Mm-hmm. So with great foresight, Paul and a couple of others, Alex Mintz and Bruce Turner, created Humane Society, entered into a contract with mm-hmm. the county, which is mirrored in a contract with the city, mm-hmm. that when they go out and pick up dogs or other reasons end up with dogs, that we take animals they bring to us, mm-hmm. and also, obviously, we have to be open for everybody mm-hmm. that needs to surrender a pet for whatever reason or has found a missing pet. But yeah, Paul did a very good job of creating a relationship with the county mm-hmm. and the city that's been really mutually beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other organizations I haven't mentioned? I mean, those would be the main ones that you're interacting with. Any others that you work closely with?
I can't think of too many specific names, but there are other animal welfare agencies in the region. Mm-hmm. Kitsap County, mm-hmm. There's another agency called Rescue Every Dog that mm-hmm. we've worked with before, and other agencies that specialize sometimes in animals that are going to be difficult to place for whatever mm-hmm. reason, health or behavioral. Mm-hmm. There are agencies that keep animals that are going to keep them for all of their natural mm-hmm. lives. And mm-hmm. so we partner with some of those agencies. Mm-hmm. If we have an animal that's more suitable for them, we make sure we make that connection.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, cats and dogs only, is that right?
Correct.
And so you would then direct people who have other types of animals to other organizations?
Yes, of course. How could I forget Center Valley mm-hmm. Animal Rescue, right. which takes lots of animals, mm-hmm. kinds of animals mm-hmm. that we can't take. We right. work closely with them.
Mm-hmm. Great. And so the main mission, I guess I probably shouldn't speak of it, but it sounds like you bring in animals and then try to get them adopted.
Make sure, just like the name of your program, make sure we make the connection. Because right. once, I mean, it was just like when I saw Luna that first day. It was, okay, this is it. We're together now. Okay. And so we love to help make those connections.
And let me say, if someone wants to volunteer to walk a dog, you're not required to adopt it. You can still come in and volunteer, and some people end up adopting an animal. But
correct. It's not a requirement.
Not a requirement, but it's an option.
It is an option.
And so, Phyllis, you handed me, before we started here, a couple of sheets about an adoption agreement and also a surrender agreement. And so let's talk about the adoption a little bit and how that process works. What's required for somebody who wants to adopt? How does the process work? Are there requirements of them and so on?
Well, I can speak about the cat adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a form for a potential adopter to fill out like mm-hmm. some shelters do. We prefer to have one-on-one conversations, ask what kind of cat they're looking for example, indoor, outdoor, male, female, short, long hair. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Are there other cats in the household? Are there dogs in the household? Go through all these questions, mm-hmm. and we try and match up potential cats. Like, well, I think, you know, A, B, and C would fulfill your requirements, and mm-hmm. then have them interact with these designated cats mm-hmm. and go from there.
If there is a cat that you know is out, an outdoor cat, do they... How do you house them in the shelter?
Well, some of them adapt very quickly. Others are a little more visibly unhappy than mm-hmm. others. But they all they all make the adjustment eventually.
Mm-hmm. And how do you go about determining if a cat and a dog, I suppose, if a cat is used to being around dogs, is that just based on what you're told, or do you actually see how they interact with dogs, or how does that determine?
Well, the value of that owner surrender sheet is evident.
Mm-hmm.
If strays come in, we can't really,
you don't know. Mm-hmm.
Unless coincidentally they're housed in a cage at ground level and dogs happen to walk by on their trip outside.
Mm-hmm.
And the cats don't seem to be bothered. We can, seems not to be bothered by dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, we don't know. We do have a 2-week return policy on cats and dogs.
Uh-huh.
So within the 2 weeks, for any reason, the adoption fee can be returned.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime after 2 weeks, yes, but mm-hmm. their money won't be refunded. So we can't make any guarantees on things like this, cats getting along with dogs and mm-hmm. other cats. And
of course, veterinary care, I mean, if they're not spayed or neutered, they're spayed or neutered. At the shelter, do you have a veterinarian on staff? Do you have a volunteer? Do you take them somewhere? How does that work?
Well, we partner with at least a couple of local veterinarians.
Uh-huh.
Probably Ginny Johnson mm-hmm. out at Hadlock, mm-hmm. Veterinarian, mm-hmm. Does most of the work with us. Mm-hmm. And she and her staff have been so generous, both in time and in terms of what they charge the shelter. And almost every day, somebody's out at the shelter with a car to transport a cat or a dog. And anything. I mean, if there's anything about that animal that needs to be addressed, we make sure to address it.
Mm.
And now we're also working with Chimicum Valley.
Yeah.
They've agreed to partner with us when they have time and staff available to help as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have anybody on the premises, but we're only a car trip and a volunteer away from getting an animal where they need to be.
And let me say, this is Jonathan Ward, KPTZ Port Townsend. I'm speaking with Steve Gillard and Phyllis Becker of the Humane Society of Jefferson County, talking about the adoption process. And you mentioned volunteers. I assume you're dependent on volunteers. How large of a paid staff is there? How large of a volunteer staff is there to run it? I assume lots of part-time volunteers.
Correct. In terms of full-time staff, I would say the closest to full-time would be Devin, our manager.
Mm-hmm.
We have a part-time assistant manager, Jenny, who used to be the manager until her family was enlarged by one, and that required a lot of time. And then we have two part-time staff people as well. And one of them, I believe, is actually a vet tech, as is Devin. And so while we don't have a veterinarian on staff, we have a couple people that have worked for veterinarians on staff.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the total number of volunteers, I probably couldn't give you an accurate number there. But we have to staff morning dog walks, morning cleaning cat cages, afternoon people to be out at the shelter helping with the meet and greet and that kind of thing. And giving additional walks and making sure all the animals are taken care of.
And in case someone's listening and actually is new to town or doesn't know where you are, let's let them know you're just off Jacob Miller Road. Is that right? The road going up to the landfill?
Correct.
And is there an address for that?
Go ahead, Phyllis.
112 Critter Lane.
Critter. That's cute. 112 Critter Lane. So, just off Jacob Miller Road. And you are open Tuesdays through Sundays, closed today on Mondays, which makes sense because Mondays often have holidays. And you're open from 12 to 5, and people can stop in during those hours and walk through, no obligation, see what's available for cats and dogs. And so, Phyllis, how does someone, like I suppose, Steve, you were saying you took Luna for a walk. People can take a dog for a walk and see how they interact. How does one test out an interaction with a cat at the shelter?
Well, every day, we have two cat rooms that the cages are put into. Every day, a different cat gets to just walk around and have some free time. So it's easier to observe the cat's behavior and energy level by observing the cat that way. Mm-hmm. Let's say if someone comes in and, oh, I want to look at this cat. Well, so we put this one away. We take that one out. There's a chair in each mm-hmm. room. Mm-hmm. The person can mm-hmm. put the cat on their lap. Mm-hmm. There's a cat tree in each room. You mm-hmm. can play with toys in there and just learn about the personality of the cat.
Mm-hmm. And how do you determine, I assume you're one of the people, if a cat is brought in, how do you determine how the cats can be housed together?
New cats are segregated behind the desk for mm-hmm. about a week. Mm-hmm. This is to observe their behavior, mm-hmm. to comb for fleas, mm-hmm. And stray hold is 5 days, so hopefully mm-hmm. somebody would come in mm-hmm. during mm-hmm. that time mm-hmm. and pick up their lost cat. Mm-hmm. You can also use this time to test for temperament, if they accept petting or brushing, or mm-hmm. if they're really scared, we might leave them alone for a while.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good. And so, Steve, if a stray is picked up by the animal rescue, it's you're the go-to place. That's where they bring cats and dogs first, unless, of course, it wouldn't fit there, or it's not a cat and dog. But for cats and dogs, that's where they go. So if you lose your cat and dog, give the shelter a call or stop in, because it may actually be there.
That's correct. And I've observed staff people making great efforts to connect people with their animals. Mm-hmm. I watched Devin one day, who knew that there was a stray cat out in a particular area of the city. She connected that with someone who'd lost mm-hmm. a cat in that area, and she was making phone calls back and forth mm-hmm. to try to arrange a meeting between these people. So we're pretty proactive mm-hmm. about trying to reconnect people with their pets.
Excellent. Phyllis?
And the shelter has lists of people who call in describing their lost pets with date, cat, dog. So if any animal comes in, oh, I found this cat in my neighborhood, the first thing they do is go through this list mm-hmm. and try to see if it matches up with any of those.
Mm-hmm. And so what resources are available to people? Obviously, the number one is stopping in Tuesday through Sunday, 12 to 5. You have a website, a Facebook page.
All of that.
And what is the actual web? And in fact, you have a newsletter too, which I'm holding in my hand.
A print newsletter, which you've got there. Mm-hmm. There's also an online newsletter that was created by one of our most active volunteers, Ellen Heineman, who also takes a lot of photographs for us, as does Deja Webster. And mm-hmm. I think we'll probably talk about that mm-hmm. a little later. But we do have a poster, mm-hmm. and I'll hold that up for Dennis here, who's taken some pictures.
Wonderful. And Deja Webster, who you mentioned, is the volunteer photographer. And
correct.
She is the one who takes these photos, which is impressive, because getting cats and dogs to sit still and look at the camera can be a challenge. And as I look at this, they're all posing quite well. So that's wonderful. And I've seen this around town. I've seen this on bulletin boards. So how often does this come out and get distributed?
That's once a week. And uh-huh. we have a little army of volunteers who each have their assigned place to post those. Mm-hmm. I post at the post office and on that big community bulletin board mm-hmm. on Taylor Street. Mm-hmm. And others post other places. So people could always check that poster. You know, they might find their animal there, but they can call in. Often we will have things on our Facebook page. Our website is Humane Society of Jefferson County of Washington, hsjcwa.org.
Mm-hmm.
That's our website.
Great. And so are the... Is this poster on there?
Yes,
those animals
we put the poster
on there
and on our Facebook page.
And on your Facebook page. Wonderful. And there's a connection somehow with Deja Webster and through Pet Finder. These animals are also on petfinder.com. Is that right?
Correct. And I'd have to say that's one of our most active ways that people make this connection with a particular animal. Mm-hmm. And we also are able to keep an active page that's just a mirror of the Pet Finder page is also on our website. Mm-hmm. So people can go there, read about the animal. And we've had people come from hundreds, maybe even in a couple of cases, thousands of miles to adopt a particular animal they found on Pet Finder.
Oh, that's wonderful. Great. And you have a newsletter, of course, if people come in, they can sign up. And as a member, presumably they get a newsletter. In fact, I just was handed this. Somebody knew I was going to be interviewing you, so I actually have a donation right here that
I was going to hand
to you. And that presumably people who are members get the newsletter. In fact, talk about the donations. I assume you're incredibly dependent on donations.
Yes. I mean, at our board meetings, when we have our treasurer give the financial report, mm-hmm. it's almost always that if we just had to rely on licensing fees, which mm-hmm. is another source of income, or membership fees or adoption fees or surrender fees, we wouldn't be able to survive just on those. Not enough people are licensing their dogs. Let me put that in here right now. And so we rely heavily on donations, mm-hmm. and that's what keeps us going and has actually enabled us to build up a significant reserve so that we know we can care for the building, care for the animals,
Wonderful.
And do what we need to do.
If someone wants to donate, how can they do that? They could walk in, presumably.
Correct. We have a donation button on our website mm-hmm. and on our Facebook page.
And that website is www.hsjcwa.org.
Good. Right. Thank you.
Knows. Search it. Right. Okay. And so they could donate online or in person. And I saw on the newsletter there's an open house October 3rd.
Correct.
And that's an annual thing, annual event.
It's how long have we done that, Phil?
This is the second year, mm-hmm. and it's in coordination with a group called Positive Alliance. Mm-hmm. They send us a bunch of promotion materials and goodie bag stuff, mm-hmm. and just to help out with this event.
So that's a nice way to go check out the shelter Saturday, October 3rd, be more of a festive atmosphere, wouldn't feel maybe the pressure to adopt, just find out what the society is all about, and that's happening, and found that through the newsletter. So another way to find out about the shelter. Well, this is wonderful, great information, and I believe that we are offering, or you are offering, a $20 discount to people off the adoption or the licensing fee for people who are hearing about you through this station and through this interview. Is that correct?
Well, something like that. That's not exactly correct. But what we've done is Phyllis has brought some information about a particular cat mm-hmm. that we think would be a great animal for someone who's looking for a cat to mm-hmm. consider mm-hmm. so that they could call the shelter and make an appointment to come out mm-hmm. and visit with the cat. So if they end up adopting this particular uh-huh. cat, we'll waive $20 of the adoption fee. And we've got the same thing for a dog that we can talk a little bit about. If people want to connect with mm-hmm. this dog, Marvelous Marvin, they can come they can come out to the shelter, and if they end up if it's the right connection, we will also waive the licensing fee of $20 on the adoption of Marvin.
Okay, wonderful. Well, this conversation we're having will be rebroadcast. So if they happen to be adopted, well, that's great news. But you can always check. The phone number is 360-385-3292.
Correct.
And the cat that we have up for adoption that we're focusing on, I believe, is named Bonnie. Mm-hmm. Is that right? And I'm looking at a picture of Bonnie, a nice, beautiful black cat with beautiful eyes. And Phyllis, I assume you know Bonnie well. Can you tell us
yes.
a little bit about her?
Bonnie's been at the shelter for several months. Mm-hmm. You might think, well, what's wrong with her? Nothing, except statistically, not only black cats, but mm-hmm. black dogs seem to be adopted slower. Mm-hmm. And people think because maybe this single color is just not so interesting as other patterns of coat colors. Mm-hmm. But the pet finder's description says that Bonnie's a bit overweight, and even on a diet food at the shelter, she's lost about a pound and maybe needs to lose one more pound. But I think the key here is to tell the adopter no free feeding in her case. I was there yesterday to interact with her more, and I could hold her like a baby, and so that shows you how tame she is. She enjoys brushing. I clipped her claws, so she tolerates that, and she frolics around during the day when she has her free time out. And so she's 6 years old, which, you know, isn't old for a cat, and still has a lot of energy. And
looks like a sweet cat from the picture.
She
sounds wonderful.
She is a sweet cat.
Well, that's great. And again, if you're interested in seeing any of the animals, but specifically Bonnie, you could call the shelter 385-3292. They're closed on Mondays, but open Tuesday through Sunday, 12 to 5. And there's Marvelous Marvin is a dog. So let's briefly tell people about the dog we're featuring. You're featuring Marvelous Marvin. Is there a particular breed, or how large is Marvin in age?
Marvin's just a kid. He's a year old. Again, from his pet finder description, he says for himself, "I'm a friendly and cuddly boy who enjoys people. A small poodle mix, about 10 pounds. He's lived with other dogs and cats. The word is that he's fine around children, but probably a preference that there not be children under the age of five. Sometimes, you know, the really small children don't really know how to handle dogs. And but he's a puppy. He should be fine, and still needs a little help with his house training skills.
How long has he been at the shelter?
He's been there a while, but again, it's not because of anything in particular about Marvin. It's just that people have a specific idea of what they want when they come out there.
That's
We've had people interested in Marvin, but we're waiting for just the right person.
That's right. Yeah, time is not a factor. It's more the synchronicity of the right owner showing up at the right time, and that could possibly be you. Again, this conversation will be rebroadcast, so those animals may not be available, but there will be other animals available. We can guarantee that. So you can call Humane Society 385-3292. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. And Steve and Phyllis, thank you for being here.